You're listening to The V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Hello. Welcome back to ESPN 680, 105.7. We just enjoyed a delicious... How great are Biscuit and I getting along? We just shared a witch.
There you go.
Nice. That's so nice.
Half and half.
See that?
I've been on this planet 3 decades.
You're working so hard to get...
3 decades you've never shared a sandwich with me.
Oh, my God.
Can I say, Nick?
I bought you your own sandwich. That's why. Because you would insist. I want my own sandwich without crying, and then we'd have to buy him a whole damn
sandwich. No, I wanted your sandwich. Yours tasted better. It tasted like acceptance.
When he was little, every week I should have one embarrassing fact I can give about Nick. Which, by the way, we should bring up, because today is We Want to Know Wednesday.
I almost forgot.
Well, we're getting a whole bunch of them sent in already. I got a great one for you. Seriously, I've been saving this since the weekend when I learned it. But when Nick was little, when we'd go out to eat, he was, I don't even know if he was 2 yet. For some inexplicable reason. And if we were at a party, like if it was a big party, there'd be 10 of us at a restaurant or something, he'd go all around the table and take everybody's knife and give it to me. He didn't want anybody else to have a knife but me. He didn't trust anybody else with a knife.
Daddy gets the knives
because he won't hurt anybody. That guy looks like a crazed killer.
Uncle Stevie, he's got the shakes. He doesn't need a knife.
To this day, there are some things he did as a little kid that you can say, all right, I understand why he did that. He had a thing about bad choo-choos, which I now realize these years later was because Thomas
told
the
you that confidence.
Thomas the Tank Engine. Remember, you know Thomas the Tank Engine?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he'd make those faces in his eyes and go around.
Who doesn't know Thomas the Tank Engine?
So that was his bad choo-choo. But the knives thing I never
Stop understood. Saying bad choo-choo.
Why not? Do a bad choo-choo. Bad choo-choo.
It brings up
bad
so choo-choo. Many different emotions.
All right, this is great. And you might know this because you're a meat guy.
I'm also a trivia guy. So this is.
So I'm afraid.
Trivia might be my wheelhouse.
I'm afraid that I'm going to say this. And you're going to say. Really? That's what you got? I mean, that's not even mundane.
If I don't know it, I won't pretend like I did, Bob. Okay. I have integrity when it comes to this kind of thing.
Right, well, how many did you guys get this past week in trivia?
It was 8 out of 10. And the two, I was really upset I missed one of them because it's a Beatles question. And I'm a big Beatles guy. I just couldn't.
What was that? I heard the Beatles question as I was getting out of my car downstairs.
Paul got the name of this song and the idea of the song off of a train. Like a train manifest, he said, or something like that.
That story, and I can't remember what it is now. I read it. What one was it?
It was Ticket to Ride.
And it wasn't.
Well, that's a lot more obvious. I was thinking of all these like secondary, and my mind didn't go straight to the obvious. Whatever. But 8 out of 10 wasn't too bad.
All right, here we go. Here's my We Want to Know Wednesday. Did you know the Volkswagen company sells more sausage than they do cars?
I did not know that.
They actually make a currywurst that is not only immensely popular, they've been selling it for 47 years, but it actually has a part number. If Volkswagen's operation manual, part number 1993985000A in the company factory is currywurst from Volkswagen.
That's amazing.
Can they buy
some currywurst?
They cannot. You can't buy it in this country because it's illegal to import sausage.
What if I buy a Volkswagen? But
that's actually what they do over there. Very often, if you buy a new Volkswagen there, they give you a case of sausage as a thank you or an incentive.
I'm not exaggerating.
They sell more sausage than they do cars.
That's awesome.
I really want to try their sausage now.
It's supposed to be delicious. I guess your currywurst is a little sweeter than a hot sausage and hotter than a sweet sausage. It's somewhere in the middle. Yeah. And they make their own ketchup that goes with it.
Oh, I bet that really tastes good.
And then 2010, because this is what they do, people who were vegans said, we want something too, so now they make a vegan sausage.
Oh, I don't care about that. I cared about the first
He actually looked offended. Where are you going with this? I don't understand where you're going with this. This doesn't make any sense.
I'll buy 2 of your stupid Beatles if you don't give me any of that.
There are 30 kitchen staffers, most of them trained butchers, and they are put solely on wiener duty. That should make the mixtape. They make 18,000 sausages every day. What was great is Sweeney walked into the first line of that.
Yeah.
And he said, I jacked my duck. He was like, what the hell was
just
that?
Happened? He was walking in the background and he just turned around and looked. He audibly went, what the blank? What's he saying?
You know, he's not exposed to great art. That's what I do. So these kitchen people make 18,000 sausages a day. That's incredible. They bring the pork is locally raised, and I think it's twice or three times a month. I can't remember. They come and bring this pork, and these guys make it and grind it and do what they do, and they spice it, pepper, ginger curry powder. Amazing. They're dried, smoked over beech wood, steamed at 350 degrees for 100 minutes. And then the finished product is shipped in packs of five to Volkswagen dealerships all over the country who gift it to customers after a successful sale. In 2017, Volkswagen sold nearly 7 million sausages. So when good. I think terrific meat products, I think Volkswagen.
Well, I'm trying to think of a...
Is that unbelievable or what?
Oh, it's amazing. But like going into a Volkswagen dealership and be like, look, I don't need a new car. I'm good, but I need some replacement sausage.
I need to... Well, that's what I need. The Chrysler dealers...
It's
going to
be some expensive replacement sausage.
The Chrysler dealers have a barbecue sauce.
I was about to ask, like, does an American company have a kind of like Ford needs to make hot dogs, you know, or something like
they
that?
They have a barbecue sauce. I don't remember how it came into being, but I got my hands on one, and it's good.
I'd love to try that.
Let me see. It's got a name, though, not surprisingly, and it is called Hemi. Hemi barbecue sauce. H-E-M-I. Hemi barbecue sauce that you can only get at Chrysler dealers.
That's amazing.
I think they'll sell it to you. It's not it's not like they use it just for customers, but you got to go specifically.
It's not just promotional good.
It's not like I need a new gas cap cover, some barbecue sauce. It's not like you take it off the shelf there. So, all right, let's see if we got some good ones here. We Want to Know Wednesday. The term rock in a hard place traces back to the Odyssey. Oh, see, now we got highfalutin listeners here. Odysseus is forced to choose between sailing his ship too close to the whirlpool or to the monster on the rock but beyond the shore. So there you go. I did not know that. Let's see. What's the A's song, Biscuit?
Mm.
Something by MC Hammer?
I don't know the A's song.
That sounds frightfully dirty. Hey, you got an A song? I got your A song right here.
Oakland's finest.
Sea lions have rhythm. They're the only animal known to be able to clap to a beat.
There you go.
So I would never be confused with a sea lion on the dance floor, unfortunately. the first sport aired on ESPN. I did know this.
I've heard this a thousand times.
Well, because it's got a Louisville, got a Louisville connection.
What is it?
It was in the Professional Slow Pitch Softball League in the Bourbons. The Kentucky Professional Slow Pitch team was in. That's perfect. That's how we get on. Yeah. We get on as part of being the Slow Pitch Softball
the team. Named
Bill
the Getty Bourbons.
Was on Dinner Show earlier this week.
Who was?
That's Getty. Who it was. Yeah.
Oh, he was on our Hall of Fame week. Yeah, Why did Getty go on Dinner Show?
No, because there as part of the special. For ESPN's
the 40-year special.
Yeah, oh, nice.
They interviewed a bunch of the Bourbons and stuff.
This is a good one. We should run this by Nathan, our resident umpire. We Want to Know Wednesday. All Major League umpires are required to wear black underwear. The reason is in case they split their pants. I think that's probably true.
That's perfect.
You want me to go ask him real fast?
Hey, he's not back
there. He wasn't back there last time I saw him.
Let's see. Got another Volkswagen. Did you know Volkswagen now is the largest automaker in the world? They own Audi, Porsche, Bentley, Lamborghini, Ducati, and among others. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
That's what we do here. This now is good. Somebody sent me this. Did you know this is a good one? This might win. I know Bob loves palindrome game scores. And whenever I'm doing the radio, I drive Paul nuts because I point out a 3-point shot here. We got a palindrome. He's like, very
like great,
big deal.
Great Bob.
Every day this week has a date that's a palindrome.
Yeah.
9-10-19, 9-11-19, 9-12-19, they'll all be palindromes.
Yep.
It's a palindrome every day this week. That's why I'm in such good spirits.
You're doing highfalutin literature.
And palindrome, and palindromic the dates on the calendar. Let's see. Now, this goes back to Antonio Brown, but it's too funny. We have to mention it. Antonio Brown is a bourbon aficionado. That's why he don't want no weak batch.
That's right. And Bob and I had a debate in the break whether it refers to bourbon or cookies.
Scholars. Scholars have debated. Oh, my God. There's whole symposiums on that.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, by the way, I'm having a Courtney's cookie right now.
Are you?
Yeah,
big fan of those Courtney's
big
cookies.
Big fan.
Yeah, see, I'm trying
this is not no weak batch.
Okay. Antonio Brown would approve.
That's right.
You don't want no weak batch. All right. So thank you. We're still accepting nominees. Nick, you didn't bring anything to the table this week, did you? You
brought nothing to the table. Actually, did kind of.
Okay. What is it?
Because I got to go back and get the exact numbers, but I have the number 2 worldwide fast food restaurant. I believe is KFC. And I forgot how many restaurants there are.
They love KFC still, in Japan.
Yeah.
And yeah, they
crush it.
And China, too.
Yeah, all of Asia. Yeah.
Isn't that, that's a tradition, right? You go for KFC on, what is it, Christmas?
You told me about that.
Did
I
you
didn't know
that?
In Asia, you mean?
In Japan. We'll revisit that. That was a texter sent that to us. KFC in Japan on Christmas is like this time-honored, here it is. KFC in Japan on Christmas. From December 1974, KFC Japan began to promote fried chicken as a Christmas meal.
That's awesome.
With its I'm just wondering, not only does that sound absurd, no disrespect to our good friends at KFC, does that not sound like a ridiculous notion? And then somebody else had to say, Biscuit, great idea, let's run with that. And then the country bought in.
Well, it's all about finding, you know, a vacuum. Or somewhere.
Well, they had no food in Japan at Christmas.
Well, I mean, Christmas is not necessarily celebrated by everybody in Japan, right? So it's kind of like how Chinese restaurants are open in the United States.
That's
our tradition. Everybody,
New Year's Eve, we go to a Chinese restaurant every New Year's Eve.
If everybody that doesn't celebrate Christmas, you know, our Jewish friends and everybody, like they might go get Chinese food, or if they don't have family to celebrate with, they get Chinese food in America. And in Japan, you kind of see. Not everybody celebrates Christmas, you know, and maybe
point.
Like, hey, why don't you have this American food on this on this holiday?
But it started in 1974 with a promotional campaign, Kentucky for Christmas, and
that's so great.
Eating KFC food on
KFC,
Christmas now
Kentucky
has become
Christmas.
A widely practiced custom in Japan. I mean, like, just you wouldn't have to tell it to somebody. Like, look for somebody. Does anybody know about this? It's a common occurrence.
It's the same person that came up with Mother's Day. You know what I mean? And Father's Day,
the made
to
up
sell
holidays.
Cards. That's right. That's the same person that came up with the idea.
Except this one is worth. Well, I was going to say they're all worth millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Does this make sense? Unfortunately, I don't think this guy put all the words in his text.
Happens.
Did you know the guy that invented the process of flash freezing food before there were freezers available? What the hell does that mean? Do you know what that means? That's.
I think he left some words.
Oh, it's from Antonio Brown. Hey, how you doing? I don't know what that means. Maybe he's trying to say that there was a guy who invented flash freezing before there were freezers available.
I guess
maybe he just.
How did he do that then?
Maybe dry
he's a witch.
Ice.
Witch.
How did you fry that? You know what? I got nothing.
I got nothing either.
We're
he's a wizard. Definitely a warlock.
But we got some good. We want to. So you have one now, Nick, or not?
No, I'll have the official numbers, but because I actually kind of looked it up because I was really
You started with KFC is the second largest.
Yeah, the number one
is
McDonald's. Yeah,
okay.
And then in America,
Subway was in Bart and Starbucks. I thought were like
it was not a burger place. That was actually the second highest fast food, and I don't count Subway for fast food, by the way, because they have a drive through.
They don't have a drive.
They don't have a drive through, but they see that was the problem. I gave up fast food for Lent one
see,
time.
See, I did. That's my rule. I've given up fast food for Lent like several times.
My loophole.
My loophole is it doesn't have a drive-thru.
I can go there.
Right. But there is a drive-thru at the Subway right near the airport, the one at UPS that I always would go to.
So
that was clutch. You get that 24 hours, they give you the free cookie. Oh, it was open.
Lighters. Did you know lighters were invented before the match?
Really?
Well, I guess it would be simpler, wouldn't it?
Just to
take butane and light in a match. It's a chemical thingy with a strike on the side of the box, and you got to burn your fingers and all.
Do you know Biscuit only has about 8 minutes left with us? So I had a football question I wanted to pose to you guys, but
no fun.
Well,
he doesn't. You know what the problem is?
Sorry.
He doesn't get the show.
That's me.
You just levitarded me. You levitarded me. Dang, man, I want another witch. sorry. Just all this talk of fast food. I was like, you know what? We got some really good stuff in the back. My question, I was going to phrase this into some sort of segment, like a yes or no. But basically, I think it covers all our locals. Who did more to silence their critics after this past week? Puma? After the pretty handed performance and thumping of EKU? Yet he wasn't perfect. Or Lamar? Because people will say the exact same thing. It's a fluke. They were playing Miami. It doesn't mean anything.
That's an easy one for me, but you can go first.
I mean, but I add the caveat. I think it's much harder to change people's minds in the NFL because people are betting on it way more
People are really invested in being right about Lamar.
That's really what I'm saying, which is
leading a lot of people to be really illogical when they're presented with facts.
No question.
You know what I mean? He goes 6-1 last year.
Everybody hates to put those words together. I was wrong.
They can't stand it. And I mean, I always said that there were reasons. There are logical reasons to be wary of Lamar as an NFL quarterback. He wasn't perfect.
And one game against the Dolphins team that is on the inch of completely imploding. Do you hear all the players went and demanded to be traded because they think
incredible.
The team is just bagging it this year to try and draft Tua?
It's incredible. And you don't want to overreact to a positive game either, but it's amazing the people that will look at it. Just like they looked at his 6-1 last year and say, well, you know, it's a flash in the pan. Everybody will figure out how to defend him, you know. And then the Chargers looked really good against him in the playoffs.
They did.
And he looked bad. But it was the assumption that he was a finished product at 20, you know, 21. He's the youngest starting quarterback in the league. So to answer his question, like the way he phrased it, it would be Lamar. But honestly, his performance just made his critics louder. It really did.
It did. That's true. You know, I never looked at it that way because they'll double down.
They already have. Yeah, they say it's the Dolphins play a real team.
Here's the reason why I said Lamar, though, because I don't think past it anything where you walked away and said, I wasn't aware he could play like that. Lamar, there were people that literally didn't think he was capable of even having a game like that. That they had that stat where he had four passes he threw to the whatever they call them in the NFL, the window passes, where there was a small.
Yeah.
He had less than a yard of separation, and he put it on the money. So I don't think people envisioned him being even capable of doing that. There's got to be some open-minded people, at least, who are going to say, oh, wow, I really didn't think he could even do that.
Sure.
So that's why I don't think past. I mean, the Louisville collectively, the more press, I think, better analogy would be, who's more silenced their critics, Lamar or Louisville football in general?
I agree, because I'm in the boat with you. I didn't think Juwan did that much to silence his critics. I thought he looked good in the second half. I thought he made some really nice throws. But he sailed literally four straight passes in the second quarter when Satterfield and Ledford were clearly trying to establish a passing game. You know, they could have just run the ball down EKU's throat and won probably 59-0, but they were looking to establish some
confidence
and get
kid.
A little and get a little rhythm going in the passing game before we played a tougher opponent and get into the meat of the schedule. And he missed on four straight throws. And three of them were pretty bad overthrows. And you could hear the crowd kind of getting restless.
Ooh, right.
And then the fourth quarter happened. And Malik comes in and throws a beautiful sideline route. And then runs for a touchdown. And you just go, oh, man.
Well, that's my question. Is Malik eventually evolving the starter in your mind?
I don't
know. You know,
the
most popular guy in town is always the backup quarterback.
And I think that the staff that we've got right now is going to give Juwan a lot of rope. They are. They're going to give him a lot of room to work because they don't want to crush this kid's confidence. But they're going to give Malik reps, especially late in like a game like Western. Hopefully we're up by a couple touchdowns. But they're going to keep
getting a little cocky there, pal.
I said hopefully.
Oh, okay.
Bob, I said hopefully. Let's not.
I didn't hear the outlook.
In the fourth quarter, you know. But I don't think they're going to make it a quarterback controversy until they have to. You know what I mean? If Juwan comes out and really struggles the entire first half and we've got 3 points or 7 points on the board, I don't envision that happening because Western's defense isn't very good. But if that happens and we can't move the ball against Western, they're going to make a change at some point. And it's got to have them salivating to a degree to think about the speed of Malik Cunningham, the speed of Javian Hawkins, and the speed of Tutu Atwell being on the field at the same time, where you have to respect, not to mention our big receivers on the outside, but when you have to account and game plan for all of that speed,
I agree.
In that offense, I mean, that's like a modern day Louisville triplets, you know, we have going there, and they're all very similar players to how they move.
Yeah.
And it just to have the game plan from three different spots for that kind of speed is something that I don't know they can resist the entire season.
I am all in on Atwell. I think he's a cusp of stardom.
Yeah. Javian, too. I think Javian's a perfect back for this zone-blocking scheme. I mean, he has great vision. He's a one-cut back.
Yep.
And he's very patient. So where he'll follow his blocks. I think he's kind of little, so he gets lost behind there sometimes with the defense. He'll wait. He'll wait for that hole to open naturally in the zone. He'll make one cut, and he's gone. I love watching him.
How much of what they do – tactically is different from last year, and how much of it has some similarities, but is just taught better and executed better?
It's really hard to compare to last season because sometimes you couldn't tell what they were
trying
taught.
To do.
Yeah, what they were trying to do exactly. I there were times when I would because I like to rewatch the game and just watch the offensive line, and I couldn't tell what they were trying to accomplish. You know, the footwork was really, really astonishingly bad. The first punch wasn't there a lot of times, and like. The vision in the reads were, you know, there was a play on the backside of a coverage where the a blocking scheme where the guard was supposed to go, he was supposed to kind of chip the down lineman into the center, and then go A B C on blitzing linebackers. I don't know if that's not talking over.
No,
people's
I think
heads.
You can visualize.
Go
that.
A gap, B gap, C gap.
Right.
That's your read, and there was a backer. He opened up like a turnstile first, and then the backer came and hit him. Right in the chest. I don't want to name the player, you know, but he was gone before he started making his read. And I'm sitting going, what is he?
This is watching last year?
Yeah, watching last year. And this year I'm looking – we didn't have a lot of zone blocking schemes last year. We didn't. That's the bread and butter of their rushing
yes,
attack this year.
Even I know that.
Yeah, and it's beautiful to watch. It's like a ballet when all five of them take the same footwork, the same step, and they all have their eyes working, you know, outside in, and they're kind of – they're taking what's coming to them naturally, and when it works, it's the prettiest thing to watch. It's awesome. And then on
how much zone blocking is done in the NFL?
A fair amount. I mean, Denver's whole offense in the late 90s was predicated,
which is
on
why
the
they just kept cranking out. Running back would be a star, get hurt, they'd run another guy in, he'd be a star.
When's the last time? When's the last time you heard Olandis Gary?
Yeah.
You know, and he had a big season after Terrell Davis got hurt.
That's true.
And Mike Anderson, you know, they just churned out 1,000-yard runners. But there's still quite a bit of zone blocking in the NFL. But you remember those Denver O-lines. I mean, they didn't have anybody over 300 pounds. They were all about 6'4", 6'5", 290. You know, Tom Nalen at center. They were an interesting group to watch. And you'll see a lot of that here. You're not going to see some overly big offensive guards and centers. You're going to see athletic, versatile linemen, and that's what Ledford's going to recruit going forward. But yeah, it's really fun to watch. I encourage anybody that wants to actually watch football a different way to watch the offensive.
The problem is I don't watch them over. So yeah. When I'm watching it first, I mean, I really have to discipline myself.
Yeah.
You want to follow the ball, but I agree with you, largely from doing the show with Will Wolford. It's a fascinating. It's really one of the most underappreciated, fascinating parts of sport.
Yeah.
Because if you love team sport, and I do, that's why I, you know, was involved in basketball, you love the ability to see guys cohesively work together. Not that I can't appreciate a wonderful golf shot or tennis
sure.
player, but I mean, that to me is amazing. And those guys, in the blink of an eye, the ability to all be able to play off each other. I mean, they have the least amount of time to react. It's instantaneous. Ball snap, quick read. You're going here, I'm going there. Or you're going here, I'm going there. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And as you're right, when all of them do it together, I'm amazed. And I'm also amazed, and you would know this, is how much of the communication actually takes place at or right before the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. And
the communication that as they're on the line, I mean, we always used to make fun of Peyton Manning, all the pointing and everything. But Will said, yeah, but all that stuff is going on with the linemen too, which is amazing to me. It is a fascinating part of the game.
Yeah, I mean, 50% of your success happens before the snap of the ball. I mean, you've got a center that's identifying the front and calling out a coverage.
Is he always the guy calling the coverage out?
Calling the front usually, but there's a lot of calls. Like, I played tackle in high school, and I played guard my short stint at U of L. But a lot of times there are things on the outside that the tackle will call, like a fan block, you know, and something like that, where the center can't necessarily see a nine technique that's, you know, lined up 10 to 15 feet outside the tackle. If the tackle has two players lined out to his outside in a certain blocking scheme, he might call fan, and the guard has to take a kick slide, and the tackle has to take a kick slide and take that. You know,
so
the guard can end up on a five technique.
How are they communicating that?
He's got a call. Like in high school, if I had a fan block, you know, I might call it. There was like a if it was a left scoop, there's a Louie call. There's a right scoop, there's a Richie call. You know, you might hear a fan, but they wouldn't call it a fan. Probably
I was gonna say just probably not announcing to
the
defense.
Tackle.
Here's how we're going to block you on this particular.
Well, here's the
play.
Thing. I mean, you don't have to necessarily disguise what you're going to do. I mean, they know what you're going to do. If you've got two pass rushers up lined up outside the offensive tackle, he can just call fan, you know, and they know what you're going to do. You know, but it's one of those things where the center is responsible for most of the calls and identifying the fronts, which is an important part for him and the quarterback. Sometimes the quarterback's you know, going to maybe call an audible based on an identified front.
Mm-hmm. I read a book. If you've never read it, you might find it interesting. It's an ex-lineman. It's out of print, but I have a copy. It goes way back, but it doesn't matter. It's from Jerry Kramer, who was the all-pro lineman for the Packers. Yeah. He wrote a diary called Instant Replay of their championship. It's fascinating. But he talks about so much of the line play, like little things like this that I just, as a fan, I found interesting. The Giants, who I followed when I was a kid, used to have a really good defensive lineman named Jim Katkavich. What a great name for a lineman.
Yeah.
But for some inexplicable reason, when they were going to stunt, instead of putting his right hand down, he'd put his left hand down. They found that in the film. And he's talking about that. You come to the line, and he said one of them noticed it, and they would just simply – he'd yell to Forrest Gregg or whoever was on his side. I don't remember. Heads up. Well, I don't remember. Fuzzy Thurston. I don't remember who was on his side of the line.
Fuzzy Thurston. That's such great names.
It is a great name. Forrest Gregg, Fuzzy Thurston. But you know, it's amazing. Those kinds of things that you can get out of – I mean, poker tells just by – how guys are lined up or set up or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would think that that's a big part if you're a lineman, what you're watching the film for. As much as technique, you're watching, as you said, would you say 50% of the plays decided before the snap?
Yeah.
So,
and that's some of it. You can see tendencies with offensive linemen, too, if you watch, you know, film and you watch the all-22s. If a left guard or right, if a right guard's pulling left, he's going to pull off the center's butt. Sometimes you can see him kind of.
Yeah.
He's pointing, and defensive linemen can take cues on that. That's why the one thing that I was always very, very, very keen on was not tipping your play. I lined up the exact same way every single play. I made sure of it. I had my weight balanced the exact same way. You couldn't tell if I was blocking a run or if I was blocking. That was my whole goal. You know, I always lined up with my left hand down. Some people, it's weird. If they're right-handed, they can't do a left-handed stance, or they refuse to. It's weird stuff. But usually those tells become less and less obvious in college, and then even more or less obvious.
You wouldn't think a guy would get that far if he
still had if he's tipping
tells.
Every play, unless he's just that good. You know, it doesn't matter what I'm going to do; you're not going to be able to stop it. But
all right, you got to go make a living.
You know, unfortunately,
you know, unfortunately for me, because now you leave me here all by myself. You're a flat lever. You know, when you're a little kid, you're called flat lever. And this gets a flat lever, Nick.
How dare you?
He's got to leave. He's just leaving us flat. He doesn't care about your listeners.
Are y'all going to Nashville at all this weekend?
Anybody? I can. I'm getting ready for the bocce tournament.
I know you got a big thing. Well, Nick's probably prepping for it, too.
Let me know if you can play. We'd love to have you play.
I'll let you know. I mean, I can't make any promises now, but I'll ask.
Ask your supervisor and see if he'll let you make a way out.
I will. So this weekend, before I go, look for no chunk plays again. You know, that's what we have to limit. Linebackers as leading tacklers is a big thing for me, and it's 3-4 especially. And that's one of those things, if you're looking at the stat sheet afterwards, our top three tacklers are all linebackers.
Cause that's a good thing.
It's a great thing. Defensive linemen are occupying blockers. Linebackers are free
to
roam.
Tackle.
And the players aren't getting into the defensive backfield.
Into the secondary.
And have, you know, safeties and corners that are leading tackles like we did the last 3 years. And then on offense, we should be able to throw the ball a little bit. Western has absolutely no pass defense. So.
Well, we'll find out. That would help Puma's confidence for certain.
And so that quarterback will turn the ball over, too.
So you really think you're talking like you're envisioning a lopsided victory.
I think it's going to be close for a half. I think we're going to win about 31-10.
Well, that's lopsided enough.
It's lopsided enough. Look, I'll take it right now.
What's the spread? Anybody can see the spread yet?
I think it's 9, isn't it?
I heard like 8.5.
Well, tell you right now, I'd load up on Louisville if I were a betting man.
It's 8.5. I think I might be able to invest a shekel or two on that too.
Yeah, don't play. I got to tell you, if I'm wrong, don't call me.
Well, I don't know what don't like Locke was the other way. And people like say he's a hater. But I'll be honest, it is tough looking the other way. Kentucky playing as quarterback for the first time against Florida, and they're only getting 8 points.
That's tough.
8 or 8.5. If he does that, I tip my hat to the kid.
I try to be pretty unbiased when I'm talking about Kentucky.
Exactly.
You know, and I have a lot of respect for what they did last year, but that's a tough mountain to climb.
Here you go, Junior. Have at it.
Enjoy the swamp.
Here you go. Here you go, Fally. Have a good time.
Thanks for having me in, Bob.
It's great to see you again, buddy. Thank you. Quit that other silly job and come work here. We'll take a short time out. We'll be back. ESPN 680 1057.
Stay winning on Saturday night when the Cards travel to Nashville to take on the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. And for the most pre- and post-game coverage, along with live play-by-play of the game, keep it locked on ESPN Louisville. The Coors Light pregame show with Mark Ennis will broadcast live from Nashville beginning at 2 o'clock on 93.9 The Ville, followed by the WKU call of the Hilltoppers and Cards. And then directly following the game, it's the Coors Light postgame show. We're the first place that will take your calls. And you'll hear live from Scott Satterfield,
If it's Louisville football, we talk about it on ESPN Louisville.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Don't forget about Universal Windows Direct. It's hot out there again today, and it's amazing how fast it'll be cold, which means you don't ever just get to sit there comfortably. It's not that kind of climate around here. It seemingly goes from one extreme to the other. So you want to keep the energy that you're using to cool your home or heat your home in your house. So you don't want to be having it go out the window with those old inefficient windows. So call our friends at Universal Windows Direct. They have a great, tremendously efficient seal that is actually rooted in aerospace technology. It's called Super Spacer. Other windows use traditional metal spacers. They conduct heat or cold, so the energy literally goes right out your window. Not so with these windows. They look great, and they've got a great deal for you. You buy one, you get one free. It's free installation. You can get them now and not make any payments till next year. And they are warranted and guaranteed for as long as you own your home and for 30 years to the next homeowner. That's a company that is standing behind their product. So what are you waiting for? You know, your home will look like a new house. It gets that new glow when you get new windows. And Universal Windows Direct has some terrific windows. They'll do a great demonstration for you. They'll show you what exactly makes them such high quality, and you will be pleased. So have them in for a free estimate. They do great doors as well as the windows. And like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct. Give them a call and check it out. Here we got some We Want to Know Wednesdays. We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. Here's one. Did you know potatoes can absorb and reflect Wi-Fi signals? So I guess if you want like a bigger radius for your Wi-Fi, you should just fill your house with potatoes. Somebody comes over and says, Bob, what is... Why you got 14,000 potatoes there, like nailed to the wall? Oh, no, it's good. Check out my Wi-Fi signal. I got the Wi-Fi all the way in the basement. Yeah, it's starting to get a little rank in here. Well, we do it or change them. We change them out every week. We make a couple of batches of potato salad, and then we go on. But
my Irish friends always did have the best
there you go.
Best Wi-Fi.
That explained it. Let's see. We got Ryan with a We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. Hi, Ryan. What kind of We Want to Know Wednesday do you have for us?
Oh, buddy, I got some good ones today. I think they're good. You may not think they're good. What was the first actor played the first Frankenstein?
No, this is not ask me a question. This is give me facts. So we want to know Wednesday. Just tell us your facts.
Okay, I'll tell you. If you don't want to answer it, I'll just tell you.
Okay, do it.
Lon Chaney Sr.
Oh, Lon Chaney. Yes, not to be confused with John
Chaney. Lon Chaney Sr., not Lon Chaney Jr. Lon Chaney Sr. played the first mummy, and then Lon Chaney Junior played Wolfman, and he played in Westerns.
Yes, I knew that. I did not know that his dad was also a monster for the first Frankenstein monster, Lon Chaney Sr.
Right.
Very good. Okay.
Okay. I got more here for you. 2/3 of the cowboys in the Old West were African American and Hispanic.
Now that I did not know. That's a good one. See that okay. you watch all those Western movies, and there's hardly ever a black character in there. See that? And 2/3 of them.
Well, I'm good on history. I'm good on geography, old movies.
Yeah, that's a good
sports,
one.
Sports, stuff like that. Okay, I got a couple more. What country, I'll just tell you. What country was the first to parachute out of a plane? It was the Russians in the 1920s.
Really?
Yes.
What would they mean? All for military endeavors? What
yes.
was their?
Okay. Yes, they was the first. They were the first country to parachute out of a plane. Matter of fact, the Germans got a lot of their technologies from the Russians. Can you remember Stalin? He was so paranoid he had half his generals and people killed or put in the gulag.
Yeah, no, he knew that. He was a sick, twisted dude. No question about that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. All right. I'll give you a Louisville question.
Okay.
You
can ask us a question. That's okay. Just don't be surprised if I don't know. That's okay.
That's all right. Who had the highest, one of the highest verticals for Louisville? Basketball.
Well, I mean,
jumping ability.
Well, obviously you would think Griff, but you must be going somewhere else. So who else? Who would it be?
Bill Butler. He played for Crum. I can't remember what year. He was 6'1".
Really? I'm sorry to say, for the Louisville fans listening, I'm not familiar with him. So,
Well, buddy, I've been following Louisville and Kentucky ever since I've been a kid, about 8 or 10 years old. Well, and I'm almost 66.
Bill Butler. And there he is in college
basketball. Yeah, if I would have went out to that, if I would have went to the fair, but when Andy Swinney was out there asking him questions, I would have probably went to Kentucky and to Louisville. Because I get Louisville fans on a lot of questions they don't know.
By the way, to your point, Bill Butler was 6'1" and played forward at Louisville.
Yes.
To give you an idea.
Yes.
And this was in the 70s. We're not talking about going back to like the 1950s. This was a 6'1" guy playing forward in 1970.
He played for Crum. Yeah, Coach Crum.
72-73 and 73-74. He averaged just about 13 points a game and 7 rebounds a game.
I want to tell you this while I got you on the phone. I really appreciate you letting me talk to Mike Pratt and the NBA guy you got on. I can't even think of his name. I forget sometimes, but you let me talk for Fred Cowgill, and you did not have to let me do that, and I really appreciate that. Me and you also talked about Bellarmine a few years ago. You told me a lot about Bellarmine that I did not know. I asked a lot of questions, and I'll tell you, your son is very respectful, and I don't like him making fun of him. Now, they may do this jokingly, but I don't like it.
Attaboy, I'm on your side. Very, thank you.
Very polite, respectful kid.
He is that.
He's a kid to me.
Yeah, he is a kid. He's still a kid. But I appreciate you saying that. That's a very nice thing.
Okay. Thank
Ryan,
you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thank you. See that? You got your fans out there. As my coach on Long Island used to say all the time, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
And it's absolutely best to get paid. No, I'm just kidding.
That's everything. Here's what we want to know Wednesday. Did you know the Lone Ranger was a real person?
Wait a second.
And he was an African-American man. Is that true? See that? People always, once a show, we get somebody who tries to send me a dupey
Wednesday.
We want to know Wednesday. See, if it were Lock Show, you would have had that remade without me talking over the back.
No, that adds to the charm of it.
We want to know Wednesday.
That's true. Bass Reeves, the original Lone Ranger, the real Lone Ranger, was an African-American who was the first black deputy in the U.S. Bass Reeves, the real Lone Ranger. How about that? See, I did not know. That might win today.
That's really strong. Bass Reeves?
Bass Reeves.
Bass Reeves, that's his name. All right. Yeah, that's a good one.
Look at that. That is so true. You watch Westerns and there's hardly ever any black actors in there. And in point of fact, I'm reading it. The amazing true story of Bass Reeves, the freed slave who protected the Wild West. And there's a picture here from 1880 of a whole group of black cowboys on horseback. Circa 1880, and evidently he was a ranger, hence the Lone Ranger, such as it were. That's a good bit of factoids there.
That's strong. Definitely clubhouse leader right now.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
Close second. Did you know?
Okay.
Eric Crawford is on third.
That's not going to win. No, we like Eric, but that's not really a startling thing. So Albert Einstein, here's what we want to know Wednesday. Eric, did you know Eric Crawford, WDRB? Albert Einstein was offered the presidency of Israel when it was formed in 1952, but he turned it down. Did you know that?
I did not know that. I don't think.
Well, you don't think. Who are you going to check
with? Did you know that scientists at University College Oxford have discovered a perhaps habitable planet 110 million light years away from Earth?
Oh, I hope to visit it someday.
They found water vapor.
Really?
It's closer to its star than we are to the sun, so the years will be shorter. So, aging, you'd age a lot faster, obviously.
Well, that would be good, though. I could go there and meet my goal of being 100 years old. It wouldn't be hard. So
that's true.
That's very, very cool.
That's good. So, anyway,
all right.
I need to know.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you brought something to the table if we want to know Wednesday. Those are the kind of guests
you
like to have
happened.
On.
You get these weird, we've talked about text alerts before. This one came from the Daily Mail. I'm not sure why it came across my desktop, but there it is, so.
From the Daily Planet?
Take it for what it's worth.
Did you get it from the Daily Planet?
Daily Planet.
There you go.
Daily Planet.
When I watch movies and TV shows, 99 times out of 100, the way they depict the coach, used to make my blood boil. He was either like Coach on Cheers, he was an absent-minded lame brain, or he was a unscrupulous, you know, guy that would do anything to win a game. There's rarely well-adjusted people that played coaches in these shows. When you watch shows where there's probably a far more reporters depicted than coaches, do you get angry about how they're depicted? What's your impression?
Well, you know, the regular coach and journalist are pretty boring, so... you have to do something interesting to be in there. But there are some good, you know, there's good journalism movies out there where you can really see a lot of what goes on. They all take liberties, of course. You know, they don't really get the deadline nature of things right, or some of the monotony of things right. But that's just the movies. But you know, you see. Mostly it's in like in the romantic comedy genre or whatever you're watching. If you see a journalist in that, they're never writing a story. They don't really ever do anything like that. That's just who they are.
It's did you ever see, I mean, this is before your time, you're appreciably younger than I, but did you ever see the movie version of All the President's Men?
Absolutely.
Did you like, I thought it was very good, but again, I'm not a reporter. Did you like it?
It was outstanding, and it launched, you know, probably thousands of journalism careers.
Oh, yeah, there's no question.
Inspired by that movie, and Spotlight, to be honest with you, is in that same genre, and I put it in that same class, and it may launch a thousand more, you know, for kids today or kids of recent years.
Yeah, might very well be. All right, let us get to, that's a good one. That's a pretty good one, Nick. Sorry. Somebody just texted me. This is the mirror image of 3.14 spells pie, P-I-E. That's pretty good. Yeah, that's a good one. All right, you wrote about this. We've been discussing it. People, Louisville fans are sick because they don't ever want you to bring it up, but it's still, unfortunately, news because I think some of these things that evolve may have implications for the university in general, for what goes on with the NCAA. We don't know that. It may not, but it may. And so you wrote about the quote-unquote negotiation in the courtroom, but most everybody I talk to seemingly thinks that they're so far apart, they're not even close for a settlement. And the Rick Pitino situation, who was in town to meet with the Louisville people and possibly see if they could reach some sort of a settlement, they didn't seem to make much headway. That sometimes can be posturing. Do you think there's still a chance, or this is all part of the process to get to a settlement? Where do you see this going?
I still see it going to a settlement. I think it will eventually, and I think it's a good thing, to be honest with you. I thought they'd be in there for 2 or 3 hours yesterday, give it the old college try and be done. Instead, they were in there for, you know, 7, 8, 9 hours, and I think that's probably positive. Now they're not in the same room. I think they're communicating back and forth. I don't know what they do, if they slide notes under the door or what, but however it works, or maybe they send the attorneys back and forth, however it works, they were talking, and I think that's a positive thing, and I think eventually it'll go to a settlement. It's very rare you see these things go to a full-blown trial, and I don't think this one will. But I do think it's a ways away, and, you know, I haven't really talked to anybody about yesterday that said anything, so I don't know if it went well, if it didn't go well, what. But that it went for 9 hours, to me, is more encouraging than not.
Where's that picture from? What restaurant are they in, by the way?
I think they were at Jeff Ruby's, I believe, but I'm not sure.
You should know that. You're a man about town.
I've never been to Jeff Ruby's.
Really? Yeah. There we go. There's a We Want to Know Wednesday. Want to Know Wednesday. Did you know that Eric Crawford has never been to Jeff Ruby's? How about that? That's
I don't know what. It's not on purpose. Again, in the depicting journalists realistically, I'm not in that, you know, stratosphere that goes to Jeff Ruby's all the time. It's above my pay grade.
Come on. Now I know you're lying, because I know how many shekels they're throwing your way at DRB, no question. Hey, let's talk some feetball. Let's talk about the injury to Terry Wilson for Kentucky. Obviously, you know, he's a guy that they were placing a lot of emphasis on this year, and he seems to be, I'd be a liar if I told you you know, what I know that what Sawyer's resume encompasses. I've read the stats from his time at Troy, but I don't know very much about what he does. But it doesn't appear anyway that he's the kind of runner that Terry was. And yet Eddie Grant came out and said, "We're not changing anything." So it's a long, circuitous route to get to the simple question: how much of an impact does this make on their season in your mind?
Well, I think they can overcome it. I think it changes the kind of offense they run. But you know, I don't think we should overplay the runner that Terry Wilson was. Terry Wilson wasn't tearing it up on the ground.
True.
But I think he was. They were just worried enough about him that they could run the read option because he could take off and make a team pay a little bit on the read option. He wasn't going to tuck the ball away and keep it himself and take it all the way to the house. But he was somebody that could get yards and keep drives alive doing that. I don't know if they're going to respect that with Sawyer Smith, because if you don't have the speed, it's just a stopwatch issue. If they can say, all right, we're going to let the quarterback go. If he goes, we'll run over him and get him in 3 or 4 yards, and that's it. But we're going to stop these running backs. And Florida is not a great team to be playing right off the bat, because they want to bring a ton of pressure. Yeah. They want to confuse him with looks, different blitzes, and they're very athletic and aggressive defensively. But now, Grantham is not a stop-the-run guy. He's a we're-bringing-pressure-all-the-time guy. So we'll see how it works. But I don't know what to think of this game, because I think Sawyer Smith has the capability of adding a dimension to their offense, because he can hit some of these receivers that they want to get the ball to more. But he's going to be under a lot of pressure against Florida, and I'm not sure that's the best game for him to start out in. But I'm optimistic for them, because I think he can play at least as well as a lot of the quarterbacks these other teams have at the SEC, and they can be competitive.
Let's shift gears to Louisville. This is just on a local note, although you wrote about this. He was our intern. Did you see where this is going back a little bit now, a few days ago, but I think it is anyway. I forget what day it is. Yeah, it's 3 days ago. Day Williams entered the transfer portal. Did you see that? He was our intern here.
You know,
we liked him.
It was a little strange. I liked him. He was very talented, had high hopes for him as a freshman. He spoke on behalf of the team after their kind of preseason courage camp they had with local kids from Norton Children's Hospital. And I think he may have spoken again. He was one of the players they made available after the early workout. So he was at least front and center for some of it, but he wasn't getting any playing time and really just cut it off quickly. It's a little unusual. Had great things to say about everybody but the coaches when he put out his statement thanking everybody. But, it's a little bit strange. Now, they're okay at running back. I just hated to see him go, because I thought he was a good kid.
He is a great kid, and we saw him here every day. I mean, he was interning here, so we certainly know firsthand. But I guess, I mean, he didn't get off the bench, did he, against Eastern? He didn't get a snap, did he?
No, and there were some guys who'd never been in games before getting in. So he read the tea leaves, and that was it. A lot of times, though, I mean, you don't lose anything by staying the rest of the season and working out and all that. So that was a confusing thing, that he would just pack his bags and go. Unless he hasn't packed his bags and gone, and we don't know, just because you enter the transfer portal doesn't mean you cease to exist. So maybe you enter the transfer portal but stay on the team. I don't know how that works.
No, I think you're done, right? And that's kind of your exit music, isn't it? I think so.
Yeah, that's what it has come to be. I mean, but yeah, I don't know how the portal works. It's a mysterious place where we reporters are not allowed to go.
You do kind of envision this giant room, like, you know, I envision it like sunk down, though. It's not. It's like the people can get out, but it's not easy to get out. And they're all just in there. There's just all these athletes from around the country are down, and you can walk to the rim and look down and spot them and point out, like, maybe I'd like that one, please.
Nobody who's young and listening to your show will know anything about what I'm talking about. But it's like that tube at the bank that they used to have, where you put your stuff in and you put the tube back in, and it went up through the vacuum tube and overall.
Yeah, they still have those. They still have those at the banks.
They still have them, but nobody under our age uses them. They just, you know, take a picture of their check and deposit it that way. But we used to have those tubes at the Courier Journal. That's how old I am. They used to send the pictures down through those tubes. Or if we wanted to call the library at the newspaper and ask for research, it would come back through those tubes, and you'd open the door and get it out. So that was high tech at one point, and so there. But that's what I think of when I think of the portal. You get in and you lock the door and you put yourself into that tube and you wind up somewhere else.
I got to admit, that's the romanticized part of being a newspaper reporter I envision, sitting at the desk with that tube. I mean, because, you know, one of my hobbies is listening to old radio shows, and there was a show called Night Beat, which came out like in the 40s, and it was a guy who did that. He was a reporter, and he did stories, and the show basically was him, how he was filing his story, and it always ended with him. You hear the clack, 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 and then you hear the zzz of a guy taking the paper out of the typewriter, and then he yells, "Copy boy!" And I thought, oh man, how great was that? That guy would come to your desk and take the copy. But then they got to the point where you sent everything through those tubes, right? I mean, that was like the high-tech stuff. So
they weren't using those tubes very often by the time I got. The Courier was even so fancy that it had a mail slot right beside the elevator, and you could be on the fifth floor or whatever, and you could drop your mail down into that slot, and it would go all the way down to the mailroom on the first floor.
Nice. So
that was pretty cool.
The old hotels have
still
that.
There. Just nobody sends any letters anymore.
Nobody sends mail anymore.
Or works on the fourth or fifth floor of that building, I believe. So.
Really? Are the fourth and fifth floor vacant, or they rented it out?
No, I don't think they're completely vacant, but it's been condensed, and that had begun by the time I was gone, but I'd be surprised if there's any. I know way up the top is, I think, still the design studio, but it's been a good 7 years since I've been in there, so I can't report very accurately.
Quick comment before we let you go. We're at the top of the hour. Not that you're giving betting picks, but just as a way to get a sense of what you think these games are. I think Kentucky's about an 8.5 or 9-point underdog against Florida, and Louisville's only about an 8.5, 9-point favorite, I think, against Western. How do you think those games go? Are they close?
I think they're closer. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to bet either team. I don't know if I'm going to bet Kentucky to cover based on Sawyer Smith, and I was leaning toward picking them straight up, so I probably will pick them to cover before the injury. And Louisville, yeah, I think Louisville's going to beat Western, but I was impressed that Western went down to FIU and won after the way its opener fell apart. So that team's got some substance to it, and we'll see. If Louisville wins that game impressively, it's another good sign for Satterfield and what's going on there.
All right, buddy, thanks. It's great to talk to you again, and thanks for bringing the We Want to Know Wednesday factoid. That was quality work out of you.
Always try. Thank you, Bob.
All right, Eric Crawford with us. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Fran Fraschilla is going to join us a little bit. The U.S. is out. They lost in the first game of the knockout round in the quarterfinal of the FIBA World Cup. They were trying to be, I think, the first team to win it three times in a row. I think that was the significance of this, and they are obviously not going to do it. They go down to France. Donovan had a ton of points, but none in the fourth quarter. We'll see what Franny's got to say. He's very dialed into the international scene. What does it say? Well, these were not our absolute top-of-the-line A-list players. We're not no knock on the guys who were there. There's some really good players there. But it still speaks to the fact the margin is smaller and smaller. Worldwide basketball getting better and better all the time. We'll talk about that with him in a little bit.
Not U of L. Jeez. USA was what, 8.5-point favorites or something?
Yeah, they lost outright. So there you go.
Got a couple things. One, Nathan Huber, sales extraordinaire, is back in the office.
Did he say they have to wear black underwear?
Confirmed that it's, he said typically a lot of the guys wear Under Armour pants anyway. To keep to keep the shin guards, from rubbing on their legs.
I thought you were saying a potty word. Keep all their shin together.
Yeah, well, that too. But, they had black. He said that they typically wear black or navy blue. Those are the accepted colors. But you don't want white or like a bright, gaudy green or something like that.
If you get a little slit there, everybody says, oh.
Yeah, exactly. So that one was confirmed. Also, I have one of my favorite video games.
Okay.
Was Army Men.
Oh, well,
and
I remember that.
In that game, the idea is that there's the Army Men world where there's all these little plastic Army Men running around killing each other.
Right.
And then they take a portal and they come into our world.
Okay.
And that's when they're like running around on like.
Well, I was thinking of the movie. There was actually a video game of that?
Oh, my God. There's a whole video game series.
Oh, nice.
And they varied from pretty good to awful.
Pretty bad. Okay.
But the characters and everything like that. I loved even the bad ones just because I loved the charm of little Army Men. My favorite toy as a kid. But There's a sound effect. You and Eric were talking about a place where journalists cannot go, the transfer portal, and right. We need a sound effect for it. So I think I found one for it. I think it's this one. That's someone approaching this.
Is that from the Army portal. Man?
Yes. It's actually the cutscene like when you as you enter it. That's when you enter it, and then
I like that. Every time we find a guy who goes in the transfer portal, we're going to play that now. That is absolutely so. We love Dave Williams. He was a very, very wonderful really nice young man. But we can say this is actual sound of Day entering the transfer portal just short moments ago. He's approaching. He's approaching. He's opening the door. He's kind of somewhat timidly moving closer. He's looking in, and now he's going for it. There he goes.
Good luck, Day. We'll miss you.
Goodbye, Louisville. I love you. All right, we'll come back. ESPN 680-1057.
You're listening to Kentucky Anna.